It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last Wednesday, the U.S. Senate voted down a proposal by President Obama to raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $10.10 per hour. Many contend that such a steep raise would cripple job growth and small businesses. Others say more money and spending power for workers would be a boost for the economy overall. A key question is this: will a higher wage take a toll on small business or offer a boost? I'm joined now by phone by Alex Halper. He's Director of Government Relations for the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. Mr. Halper, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And with us in studio is Art Helms, a Wendy's employee and member of One Pittsburgh, who is organizing for fair pay and a union for fast food workers. Art Helms, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Sonia Finn is here. She is chef and owner of Dinette Restaurant and Bar in East Liberty. Sonia Finn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM. That's ESSPGH at WESA.FM. And on Twitter at ESSPGH, follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Do you think raising the minimum wage is good or bad? If you think it's good, why so? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's begin with Alex Halper. Mr. Halper, your organization, the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry, opposes raising the minimum wage. Why have you taken that position?
Well, our organization represents employers throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Most of our members are small businesses. And, you know, as everyone knows, whether you're in Western PA or Central or East or anywhere, you know, we are still recovering from a historically a devastating recession, and we're still in the midst of a sluggish recovery and are still dealing with high unemployment. Our view is that lawmakers should be pursuing public policy that encourages job retention, encourages job growth, and certainly does not act as an impediment to economic growth. And when you consider the prospect of a mandatory wage hike, it's simply inconsistent with those key principles. We think that lawmakers should be at the forefront of what policymakers are doing in Harrisburg and as well as in Washington. That the goal should be job creation, and the minimum wage is the opposite of that. Whether you're looking at assessing the consequences of previous minimum wage increases, or you know, based on studies and feedback that we've heard from employers in Pennsylvania on how they would have to deal with a mandatory wage hike.
Couldn't a rise in wages lead to a boost in productivity and a reduction in other costs, like the cost associated with training, thanks to lower employee turnover?
Well, what we hear, and again, this is based on both, you know, countless studies that have been conducted, as well as, you know, most importantly for our purposes, is actual feedback from our members that tell us that they will have to, in order to accommodate this mandate, they will have to, you know, either raise prices and or reduce hours for their workforce, cut jobs, or oftentimes what we hear is that plans that they have to expand their operations, you know, if they have a, you know, if it's a small business that is planning to open up another location, that those plans will have to be scuttled. So I think most studies in history show us that yes, minimum wage increases will result in higher pay for some, but that's coming at the expense of others who will feel the negative consequences of an increase like that. So the notion of this action resulting in a big economic boost, I just don't think we've seen in the past, and I don't think you'll see it now. I mean, let's not forget there was an increase to the federal minimum wage in 2007, 2008, and 2009. Now, certainly there was a lot going on in the economy, but those wage increases, I don't think anybody would say that those were years where we saw big economic boosts.
According to a state report, though, Mr. Halper, released earlier this month about the minimum wage in Pennsylvania, if the minimum wage remains unchanged at $7.25 per hour in 2014, the earnings of an individual working full-time at that wage almost certainly will dip below 100% of the federal poverty threshold for a two-person household. In 2013, there were nearly 200,000 Pennsylvania workers earning minimum wage or below. So with that many people earning minimum wage and with the cost of living increasing to the point where those people at $7.25 an hour would be below the poverty threshold, wouldn't that adversely impact business and the economy?
Look, if you're earning the minimum wage and you're, you know, living at the poverty level or around the poverty level and, you know, raising a family, certainly we would agree that there should be public policies that support you and that help you. But the reality is that the minimum wage is just not it's not the best policy to do that. When you look at the demographics of who's actually earning the minimum wage, the state puts out a report every year. Just for example, 81% of minimum wage earners don't have children. Overall, you're seeing that minimum wage earners are young. You know, nearly 60% are under the age of 25, and the vast majority are not living in poverty households. So you have a lot of younger people, or you have a spouse earning the minimum wage and is not the primary breadwinner for the family. And those are a significant majority portion of the minimum wage earning population. If you're low income, if you're low wage, and are raising a family, and certainly there should be help there, but there are just better, more effective, more targeted ways to help those populations that will not result in the job loss and the negative impacts on the economy that we know are inherent.
Let me bring Art Helms into the conversation now. Yeah. Mr. Helms, you work at Wendy's. You are a member of One Pittsburgh, organizing for fair pay and a union for fast food workers. Why do you believe that the minimum wage should be raised?
As the gentleman was saying, there's a lot of young kids that's living, with other family members. That's why the minimum wage need to be raised, so that they can move out on their own.
By young kids, you mean the young people who may be of the legal age of 18 or over,
right,
but are still living at home because they can't afford.
Because they can't afford off of $7.25 an hour. That's not enough to survive. I mean, everything is going up. The economy is just it's just booming, like they were saying on the news the other day. It's going to cost you a little more to cook out this summer because everything is going up, as far as beef, rent, gas. You can't go buy 2 gallons worth of gas for $5. You can't buy 2 stamps with $1, there's no research backing the claim that higher wages are bad for communities and small businesses.
May I ask how much you make per hour? And you certainly don't have to tell us.
Well, I make $9.20 an hour.
$9.20.
And I still can't make it. I'm still struggling off of $9.20 an hour.
How long have you been working this particular job?
27 years.
27 years at Wendy's?
And haven't received a raise in over 17.
If I may ask, why do you stay? What keeps you working there?
Well, Wendy's gave me an opportunity back in the early 90s, to get some employment and to be able to get out on my own, which back then, was somewhat close to affordable. But now, I stayed to show them gratitude for giving me a start. But now, the way minimum wage is today, it's hard. You just can't do it,
Let me turn to our restaurant owner, Sonia Finn, owner of Dinette Restaurant and Bar in East Liberty. I understand that you are paying a so-called living wage to your employees. Describe what you're doing and why.
Yes, I am. My back-of-the-house employees, which include the dishwasher and cooks, are receiving between $13 and $16 an hour. And in addition to that, they receive health insurance after 6 months. They also receive paid two weeks paid vacation after their first year, and for the entire staff receives a yearly bonus based on a percentage of net wages, or I'm sorry, net earnings.
Do you employ how many people?
11.
11 people, which is a pretty good number. How is that doable for you?
It's doable because when I started Dinette, the business plan was based on creating good jobs with good working conditions. This was my number one goal when creating the restaurant. I had worked in the restaurant industry for over 11 years before starting Dinette. I had been the line cook who was barely getting by, and if I was going to enter this industry and create a business in this industry, then I wanted to make sure that it was a good one, and it was a valuable part of the community. And to me, that means 11 good jobs with good wages and good working conditions. However, it really is doable only because that was my model from the start. I've had to create an entire restaurant around that principle. And that means
the idea of paying people of what you would call a living wage, which is, and what you're paying your workers is certainly well above the minimum wage that is being proposed, that was voted down in the Senate just last week.
Correct.
So,
I guess what I'm trying to say is that while I do this, I don't believe that it is an easy thing for a restaurant who has not been doing this to transition to. And I understand that it will be difficult for other small businesses to add that much money onto their payroll. We've had to make decisions at Dinette how we run things. Several of these have meant weighing our customers, who are very important to me, and their needs with my employees, who are very important to me, and their needs. For instance, we are not open for lunch. This is a business model that not all restaurants can follow, definitely.
You're not open for lunch because?
Because it would not bring in enough revenue, though we are putting out the same amount of, though we are providing the same amount of workers, the same amount of people would be working, the same product is provided, but it would not bring in enough revenue to sustain, the livable wage that I can provide for my employees who are working a five dinner shifts a week.
And your restaurant, Dinette, how is it doing overall?
Well, we...
You're making money?
Yes, we are. We just celebrated our fifth anniversary in October. I have a great staff right now, all of which have been there 2 years. So that's 11 people who have been working with me at least 2 years. And I think everyone's very happy there.
So let me go back to Mr. Halper, who is Director of Government Relations for the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. As you listen, Mr. Halper, to Sonia describe how her business operates and what her business model is, what do you think of that? And is this perhaps a template for restaurants to thrive and pay employees higher wages?
Well, I think it's important to note that that about 3% of all employees in Pennsylvania are earning the minimum wage. So I think most employers, business owners, and most owners of restaurants have made a similar decision to pay above the minimum wage. But I think there is a concern even among employers who pay a higher wage that, you know, if you increase the minimum wage, so for example, one of the proposals here in Harrisburg that's gotten a lot of attention would increase the minimum wage to $12 an hour. We've had a lot of concern that even for employers, let's say you pay, $13 to $16 an hour. So you're paying, $5 or $8 more than the minimum wage, and that's kind of become standard. And there's just concern that if you raise the minimum wage to $12 an hour, are your employees still going to be satisfied with making just $1 above the minimum wage, where before they were making $6 or $7 more? Especially when you consider the impact on the prices of goods and services. I mean, the gentleman, Mr. Helms, talked about the rising costs of goods, and I think when you increase labor costs on employers, there are only so many ways to recover those costs, and one of them is typically raising the prices of goods and services that they provide. So I think that. I think that problem is only exacerbated.
Well, let me ask Mr. Helms. Is there a danger, Art Helms, that, for example, you are saying that you are forming a fast food workers union or attempting to?
Yes, sir, we are.
Is there a danger that kind of action might lead to increased automation? That fast food workers or wait staff could be replaced with something cheaper, like touch screens that customers could use to put in their order, which would ultimately hurt employment?
I don't think it'll hurt employment. I think more people will come out and want to work. These companies bring in huge revenue. You know, they bring in like over $2 billion a year. And I think that, it wouldn't hurt them at all to raise the minimum wage, to want people to come out and work. Maybe you can get rid of some of the crime on the street with the raise, with minimum wage hike.
But you're saying these businesses, these restaurants, as far as you're concerned, they can afford this.
They can afford it.
We are talking about the proposal to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 per hour. It was voted down by the Senate last week. Currently, the federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour. Many people feel that is not a livable raise, but the downside of raising it is a potentially adverse impact on business. We're talking about this issue with Alex Halper. He's Director of Government Relations for the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. Also with us is a restaurant owner, Sonia Finn, who is chef and owner of Dinette Restaurant and Bar in East Liberty. Also with us in studio, Art Helms, a Wendy's employee and a member of One Pittsburgh, who is organizing for fair pay and a union for fast food workers. We will come back and take your calls at 412-246-2002. We do need to break. This is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're devoting a good part of today's show to a discussion of raising the minimum wage. It's been proposed. Those in favor of it say it would boost the economies. Others say that it would hurt businesses, particularly small businesses. And earlier today, I recorded an interview with Chris Dilla. She owns Bocktown Beer and Grill. She said that raising wages would be a hardship for her. Let's listen.
The hardship would come when you put it in perspective that we have 80 employees, and if I multiply out just the additional wage of $2.85 per hour times one day, that's $160, and even more. That's just my kitchen staff. So I did it on knowing that the kitchen staff were already at and or above minimum wage. and I had about $150 per day for seven people. It doesn't sound like a lot when it's $2.85, but you multiply that out to a year, and you're looking at trying to find about $60,000 just for one kitchen and one, you know, day of, you know, added expense. So trying to find that money, that's really, you know, a couple people's salary. Do you try to work on a tighter workforce? Do you try to raise the prices? Do you quit paying somebody? Do you lose administration? Do you lose profit? Where do you find that money? I don't know yet where you find that money. And the extra burden I see on us is that nobody realizes that when you increase that gross wage, you also increase the tax matching, your 401k matching, your increases in the ACA costs because their 9.5% ceiling will be higher. So it's not as simple as just the 285. And I'm not opposed to it, and I know they'll do it in smaller hikes if it comes about, hopefully. I'm not opposed to it because I do understand, as a person, you want to get more money, you know, working in the economy. I just have no idea how that burden came upon me, not to make good food and good, you know, experiences at my restaurant, just a person. And now I have to, you know, multiply that number out by, you know, I can keep going. I can get that number up to over $600,000. Why am I responsible for finding $600,000 to put into the economy in my own business over a year?
Let me interrupt you as a contrarian argument here. If the minimum wage were raised to $10.10 an hour, and that would be for more than just the people working in your restaurant, of course, it would be for people all over the country and in this area who would suddenly perhaps have more discretionary income, wouldn't you make that money up with the amount of people who would then be able to perhaps afford to eat at your restaurant more often, buy an extra beer or burger, that kind of thing?
I'm not an economist, and I don't really have a political slant or intent. I definitely am an optimist, so I know that there will be more money in the economy. We are actually experiencing a great economy near both my restaurants. The hotels are full, Marcello's Shell's here. People are spending. Now, if it's raised equally across the board, though, how does that help a minimum wage person? You know, I do have employees at $7.25 that are going to go to $10.10. I have a skilled person at $10.10. Do they need to go to $13? You know, so if it's just across the board, aren't we leveling the playing field for everybody? Doesn't that make the cost of goods rise and make apartments rise? And we already know utilities are rising. So I just think it's a shift, but where does that money come from?
Are you saying that if the minimum wage were raised, especially if it were raised to $10.10 an hour, that you would probably have to lay off some people?
I'm fortunate in saying that in 7 years, I've never done a layoff. This January, I really felt that I'd have to with ACA and a lot of things coming with the horrible weather we had. But we've managed to struggle on by with just reducing people's hours on occasion, you know, sending them little letters to let them know that we're just tight this week. I'm not going to rule that out, but I don't know how to grow my business by laying people off. It's not really an option for me. I'm extremely positive. I want more stores. I really do want to grow my business, and I am here learning. You know, I'm involved in conversations at the White House with the Small Business Council, and I learn a lot, and I have questions, and I think that my voice is heard. I'm very in tune with the Small Business Administration for borrowing money. I believe that one of the answers might be in dividing small business into two categories. You know, what's considered small business? A person who only has two employees isn't going to feel this the same way as somebody with 80 isn't going to feel this the way that a small business that has, you know, a large, large profit margin. So maybe dividing us into some different categories based on how many employees we have and possibly helping us educate our staff, because we're hiring inexperienced staff at minimum wage. Now, if we have to pay them $3 more, and we have to educate them, or if we have to train them, you know, it just seems like a undue burden. A 16-year-old kid making $10 an hour that really isn't going to give you 8 hours worth of quality work from day one. It seems like there should be almost a, a government protection or some sort of subsidy towards the training and hiring of minimum wage employees, so that we're hiring quality. It really is tough in this industry. you can get a $10 an hour job right now, unskilled, in, say, Marcella's show. But in the restaurant industry, you do have a lot of turnover and a lot of unskilled labor and a lot of kids that just want to work for the summer.
And again, that was a restaurant owner from Pittsburgh who is saying that this would adversely affect her business. That's Chris Dilla. She owns Bocktown Beer and Grill. She said raising wages would be a hardship for her. And a fellow restaurant owner, Sonia Finn, who is with us listening to this, she is the owner of Dinette Restaurant and Bar in East Liberty. So as you were listening to what Chris was saying, what was going through your mind?
I think that I don't really have the ability to give her advice on this. I am able to take liberties that she is not. I have 11 employees.
She has
80 employees.
Right.
She has two restaurants, and she has. Like I said, I set up Dinette like this from the beginning, making the change once a restaurant is already functioning and you already have loyal customers who are expecting a certain things from you is very difficult. And I understand why she's scared. I would be really scared, too. The restaurant industry is, when we're talking about the small subset of us who are small business owners, who also small business restaurant owners, we are not bringing in a lot of money. We are just trying to get by. And we work side by side with our employees. And I think what she's saying here, and I agree with, is that she wants what's best for her employees. She's just trying to reconcile that with what her customers are expecting from her. I think that this industry, the restaurant industry, has historically been based on low-wage workers. And in order for this to change, everyone is going to have to make some changes. The customers will be accountable too. This can't just be the burden of the restaurant owner.
Let's go to the phones, 412-246-2002. What are your feelings about raising the minimum wage? Let's go to Chris in Pittsburgh, who's been waiting a long time. Chris, thanks for holding. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, my position on this is I agree with Mr. Helms 100%. As a Wendy's employee, you know, he is the one that is there every day. He said he's been there for the past 20 years or so. And he sees firsthand how a worker is treated. Me, I'm a Subway and a McDonald's employee. And, you know, our fight is more so with the big corporations that, you know, together make over $200 billion a year that could afford to pay us more money for the work that we do. You know, it's very serious work. It's not easy whatsoever. And these are not low-end jobs, which people have been believing for so many years. We make them a lot of money. We run their registers. We flip their burgers. And the amount of money that they make is just incredible. There's no reason why they should be able to, you know, pay celebrities to come out to events whenever we can't even put food on the table for our kids. You know, Mr.
Well,
I don't have any, you know, but I still can't make it working two jobs. It's not enough.
And that plays into what Mr. Helms was saying earlier, that your position is that the company can afford this. And Chris just mentioned that something that many of us might not have thought of, but the idea that the fast food chains can hire celebrities to make appearances, do commercials, that kind of thing. Big
right.
agencies to do their advertising, et cetera.
Yeah, that is so true. And then they can also go into their financial means and remodel stores, but yet and still they don't want to give someone a fair living wage. I don't understand it. I mean, living wages, you know, should be part of any smart business, you know. And like the gentleman just said on the call, I mean, if you think working fast food is easy, it's really not.
Alex Halper, you have said you have made your position clear that you and your organization, the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry, of which you are Director of Government Relations, is opposed to raising the minimum wage. Are there ways to aid the working poor that wouldn't involve raising the minimum wage? You seem to think that there are. If so, what are they?
Well, there are there are ways to target this specific population. Again, when you look at those earning low wages and minimum wages in Pennsylvania, it's a relatively small percentage that are older, raising families, and there are policies that can help those individuals.
Such
one example is federal program the earned income tax credit. This provides. Provides additional funding for individuals that fit certain criteria of income and whether or not they are raising families or are the sole breadwinners of a family. They are those factors are taken into consideration.
Would that work for you, Mr. Helms?
What he's saying is about these young people living at home. You know, just because these young people live at home doesn't mean that the parents also have to pay the tab for them kids to be there. So if the young kids are still out there working at $7.25 an hour, they also have to come out of their pocket and help their parents pay the rent, like gas or mortgage or whatever it may be. So therefore, the minimum wage should be raised. I'm not going back down from it. I believe it should happen because these, like the caller said, you know, we're fighting the big corporations, you know, that have this money and can afford to spend it.
Let me jump in with Mr. Halper. Is there a compromise here between, do you see maybe a tiered approach to raising the minimum wage? If it's not $10.10 an hour, is there some figure between $7.25 and $10.10? It wouldn't necessarily help Mr. Helms, but might help others, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a question of how many lost jobs or reduced hours are we comfortable implementing in Pennsylvania? On average, people are earning wages. I mean, people's wages go up whether the government imposes a mandatory increase or not. I mean, clearly there are examples where that's not the case.
Let me ask you this: do you really believe that a corporation like McDonald's cannot afford? I mean, we've been hearing from some small businesses in Pennsylvania and how it would impact them, and we can understand the challenges that would be posed to them. But for the bigger corporations, do you believe that they cannot afford a raise of $2.85 an hour for their employees?
I just think when you're talking about who's paying the minimum wage, it's generally not large corporations sitting on billions of dollars. It is smaller businesses. It is the restaurants. You know, Chris, who talked about her experience and how she would have to react to a minimum wage increase. Food and drink establishments and restaurants are some of the most common. Companies or industries in Pennsylvania that pay the minimum wage, and on average, they operate on razor-thin profit margins. I think the average is about 4%, and they're not sitting on billions of dollars. I think the average restaurant owner in Pennsylvania takes home at the end of the year about $50,000 a year. So I think it's oversimplifying the issue to say McDonald's is making billions of dollars. Let's raise the minimum wage across the board. I think individuals like Mr. Helms, I think their intentions are good and they have a good they have a noble goal of trying to improve people's lives, but there are just better ways to go about
Sonia
that
Finn.
And more targeted ways than simply raising the minimum wage.
Sure. Let's let Sonia weigh in. You talked about having a business model and having it from the start. You're a small business, small restaurant owner, 11 employees, but you're saying you are already paying them more than even the proposed what the proposed raise would be of $10.10, $13 and $15 per hour for your employees. So you're able to make that work.
I am, but again, like I said, that was my decision from the start, and I while I'm in favor of the minimum wage raise, I see how this can be a problem for small businesses. Your guest said, there's a 4% profit margin. We're not the restaurant owner, and I know that the restaurant owners represent a small proportion of people that we're talking about here, business owners, but the restaurant owner is not bringing in a ton of money and deciding what small business restaurant owner is not bringing in a ton of money and deciding what small portion of it to give to their employees. Like I said, we want to pay them well. We're working next to them. We care about them. We want to pay them well, but we are afraid of what customers will think when we're making these decisions. And some of these decisions will include a need to raise prices. But I think that there's this general fear of raising prices. And I'm not saying that we're going to raise prices to completely compensate for a minimum wage increase. I'm just saying that everybody has to do their part in this. And I have confidence in customers that if they understood that these people who are making their food were not being paid enough to live a reasonable life, then they would be willing to pay a little bit more. I see that with my customers.
Let's take a call from Peter in Point Breeze, who wanted to talk about incentives for becoming fast food managers. Peter, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a moral argument regarding the minimum wage debate. My brother lives in Washington, and he's been working at McDonald's. He graduated high school, started working at McDonald's, has been there for the last few years, and he was offered a management position if he went out and got a two-year degree at a community college. So he did that while working the weekends and evenings. He would go to school and get his AA. And then he applied to become a manager, and they agreed, you're now qualified to be a manager. So they doubled his salary from like 7-something to 15 an hour, and because he was qualified to be a manager. But recently the government's been talking about raising the minimum wage in Washington up to 15, which I know is a little different than we're talking about here, but it's generally the same concept. And he has student loans to pay off this degree. So I'm wondering, is it fair to give him a leg down with his student loans for going above and beyond and getting a degree? And also, are we creating perverse incentives for hard work in this country? And then the last question is, if we're asking how to create jobs, why do we ask professors? Why don't we ask business owners? That's it.
All interesting points, and we're very short on time. I'm going to let Alex Halper have the last word here. What about the points that Peter has just brought up, as quickly as you can?
I think he made some great points. I think the real way to raise wages across the board and create more opportunities is to create a business climate that allows businesses to thrive in Pennsylvania, to create jobs, and that's going to be critical to moving Pennsylvania out of the recession and out of the sluggish recovery and improving lives for everyone. There are ways to target those populations that really need the help. The minimum wage is simply not the way to do it.
Alex Halper is Director of Government Relations for the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry, joining us by phone. You just heard him. And we've also been talking in studio about the idea, the proposal in the Senate, recently voted down, but it could be brought back, to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 per hour, with restaurant owner Sonia Finn. She's chef and owner of Dinette Restaurant and Bar in East Liberty. And also with us, Art Helms, a Wendy's employee, member of One Pittsburgh, who's organizing for fair pay and a union for fast food workers. Thank you all for being with us and sharing in this discussion.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Coming up, we'll talk about the business of Mother's Day with our correspondent, Rebecca Harris. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.